Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Christian nationalism. Ooh, spooky, wild that has become controversial. Our new speaker says that his Bible is his worldview. What does that actually mean? And then the Democrats are increasingly nervous about 2024, how Hamas is breaking the back of the Democrat Party. And why on earth is the RNC allowing NBC to become a debate partner? Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Lots of information we pack into this episode. Text it to your friends. Make sure you're subscribed and give us a 5-star review. If this show has impacted your life at all, go to charliekirk.com and become a member to support us. It is affordable for all income levels. Get involved with the nation's most important organization, fighting for liberty, freedom, American exceptionalism, and conservative values, tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. If George Washington were alive today and he articulated the views and the values that he held when he helped found this country, he would be smeared as a Christian nationalist. Now, it's been interesting to see how the activist press, the people who want to destroy the country, have been workshopping a way to try and smear, slander, ostracize Christians in America. You see, more and more churches are speaking out. The church founded America. Billy Graham was a huge reason why America never truly went Marxist. He went around and called communism Satan's religion. Did you know Billy Graham said that? The American church has largely become comfortable, quiet, and complicit. No longer fighting against tyranny, doing what they are told. Many pastors across the country say, I only preach the gospel. I'm not going to fight tyranny. But we are starting to see that change. We're doing work at TPUSA Faith. We have highlighted so many of those pastors here on this program. Steve Smotherman, Luke Barnett, Jack Hibbs, so many people, amazing pastors that have been boldly speaking out. We had over 2,000 pastors go through our pastor trainings at TPUSA Faith over the last year. And the media, Rolling Stone, threw this at us. They said, you guys are Christian nationalists. Now, that is a dog whistle. They're trying to call you Nazis. They just don't want to say it. But they're trying to other you. They're trying to smear you. They're trying to keep you out of the public discourse. And so there's different ways that they try and attack. If they can't attack you personally, for example, if your personal life is rather boring, and if you are loyally married to somebody and you don't have a lot of dirt, they'll immediately then try to make you seem ideologically fringe. So if they can't attack you personally, then they'll go after your worldview. So they're scrambling. How do we attack Mike Johnson? Did he have an affair? Does he have a suspicious marriage? No, he's actually loyally married. He's a godly man. He's a family man. Does he embezzle money from foreign countries? No. Okay. Next attack vector. Well, he believes in the Bible. So now the attacks are out calling Mike Johnson, Speaker Johnson, a Christian nationalist. MSNBC.com. Mike Johnson's Christian nationalist track record isn't a mystery. Politico.com. A Q&A with a historian, Kristen Cobbs DeMuse, on the Christian nationalist ideas that shaped House Speaker Mike Johnson. And Mike Johnson, to his great credit, is leaning into it. He's saying, you want to know what I believe in, what my worldview is? Pick up a Bible, and that is my worldview. Play cut 133.
Someone asked me today in the media, they said, it's curious. People are curious. What does Mike Johnson think about any issue under the sun? I said, well, go pick up a Bible off your shelf and read it. That's my worldview. That's what I believe.
He believes in a biblical worldview. And I just have to say, just time out. And we're going to get into some criticism of Mike Johnson because he's been disappointing me on some stuff in the short window. But by the way, remember I told you, prepare to be disappointed. But I do have to say this. It is a delight to have somebody in leadership of our government unapologetically say they have a biblical worldview. That's really cool. And we have to have his back. Because to say that as a office holder of the American government means that all of the worst cockroaches and demons are going to come out. You think Denny Hassert would say that? You think Dick Cheney would say that? They'd say, oh, I'm a Christian, no, no, but say very clearly, pick up a Bible and that is my worldview? That is awesome. So what does that mean exactly? Well, we could spend 5 hours talking about what a biblical worldview is, but let me just build it out very plainly and contrast it with what a secular worldview is. Mike Johnson believes that there is a God that created everything, and we are not him. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, Bereshit, God created the heavens and the earth. Mike Johnson believes that human beings are not accidents of millions of years of evolution. He believes that human beings are made in the image of God with a purpose and a soul. Genesis 1:26 and 1:27. He believes that human beings are naturally flawed and sinful. Therefore, power should be decentralized. Genesis 3:22, Psalm 51:5, Romans 5:12 through 21. He believes that we should not administer justice based on feelings or victim status, neither favoring the rich or poor or the powerful or the connected, Leviticus 19:15. By the way, that one verse in Leviticus 19:15 is the basis of our legal system, that we shall not favor a rich man or a poor man in a legal proceeding. He also believes in one of the things that Jesus our Lord said that the entire laws of the prophets all hang upon, Leviticus 19:17, that you should love your neighbor as yourself. This is the root of human equality. He also believes in the Ten Commandments, a moral code given by God for all people to live by, protecting life, property, family, and our country. Remember, I'm the Lord your God that delivered you from Egypt. Tyranny. You shall have no other gods, no other gods before me. You shall not make craven images. Shall not murder, shall not steal, shall not covet. For 6 days you shall work, for one day you shall rest to keep the Sabbath day separate, holy. Honor your mother and father so that you may live long in the nation that you are in. It's the 10 statements, the 10 commandments of which Western morality is based. He believes in making your nation better and improving the welfare of the nation that you are in, just as Joseph, Mordecai, Esther, Daniel, Nehemiah, and Jeremiah did in Jeremiah 29:7. He believes that God became flesh and that every human being will have a decision to make whether or not they'll accept or reject Jesus as our Lord and Savior, John 1:1 and also John 3:16. He believes that we should not judge people based on the color of their skin. Instead, we should seek to win over their soul and increase the population of heaven, Galatians 3:28. Put plainly and simply, Mike Johnson believes what nearly every founding father believed. This is not radical or fringe or scary. This is what built the entire world you live in. His worldview is the basis of our entire civilization, which is exactly why the media is trying to discredit and destroy it. And they're doing everything they possibly can to smear Mike Johnson. When in reality, Mike Johnson believes in the foundational ideas that give us the common law, protection of the incident, charity, natural rights, freedom of speech, decentralized power, an independent judiciary. This entire document, the United States Constitution, is based on a biblical morality. And it comes from an idea. Is there a God? Are we him? What is a human being? Where do rights come from? Are we naturally good or naturally not so good? And Mike Johnson says, you want to know what I believe? Pick up a Bible. And you could hear the screaming in the activist press. They are shrieking from the rooftops. How dare you? You're a hater. You're an LGBTQ nonsense hater. And Mike Johnson says, let's go back to our roots. I believe what every founding father believed. I believe in what gave us this civilization. To believe in a biblical worldview is the most sane, predictable, and normal belief system any American politician can and should hold. It means you believe murder is wrong, that stealing is wrong, that you should not judge people based on things they can't change and instead judge people based on things they can change. A blind justice system. You ever see the image of Lady Justice being blind? Where do you think that comes from? Leviticus. Loving your neighbor as yourself. Where does that come from? Leviticus. You see, they're trying to stop Mike Johnson before he gets out of the gate using the playbook that they've used before. And again, they can't try to attack him personally. They can't use lawfare because he's a godly man. He's on the straight and narrow path. He's lived a great life of self-discipline, self-control. So they can't use those typical DC tactics. So they're going to try to fringe him. And this is a rallying call for all of us that are believers. And even if you are not a total Christian believer and you're just a patriot, it is time to, this is a huge opportunity because if they're allowed to fringe Mike Johnson based on a very simple, mainstream, non-controversial, non-radical view that every American founding father held, that Abraham Lincoln held, that every American president basically in the 20th century that was good held. If they can put him on the fringe, then they could do it to anybody. Bottom line is this, is that a belief in God is a threat to the left. And that is why they are freaking out. They are freaking out that a Speaker of the House says, I have a biblical worldview. It drives them nuts and crazy because he acknowledges something greater than them. And that is a threat. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Do you know that the average American spends about 20 years in retirement? That's a long time to live without a steady income. We want to make sure you enjoy every moment of it and don't outlive your money. Retirement is about more than just investments. It's about living your best life. Let's not retire. Let's pivot. My friends at Pax Financial Group developed a course for the sole purpose of helping you pivot. If you want your own free guide of pivoting into the next chapter of life with purpose, visit paxfg.com/Charlie. That is paxfg.com/Charlie. I have some of my money managed by Pax Financial. They do a wonderful job. And remember, retirement is about more than just investments. The Charlie Kirk endorsement of the Pax Financial Group LLC was given for compensation, which creates an incentive to recommend Pax's advisory services. You need to make sure that disclaimer is very clear. So check it out, paxfg.com/Charlie. So they're going to try to smear Mike Johnson. We have to go all in on this. And by the way, they're not going to have, the media is going to intentionally try to misrepresent because look, America is increasingly godless. That's why you get Dylan Mulvaney and this idea that men can give birth and all that trash, right? And so they try to make it seem as if religion is the problem, even though we are the least religious we've ever been. And obviously, as we have become less religious, America has become less free, less joyful, more suicidal. You stop believing in God, you believe in anything, as G.K. Chesterton would say. Now, Mike Johnson is far from perfect. When Mike Johnson became speaker, I said, praise God, we get someone who believes in the core values of the nation, e pluribus unum, id God we trust, liberty. But we did say, hey, I warned you guys, he's going to let you down. And you got to take the good with the bad. You got to take it in stride. Remember, Mike Johnson is a reflection of the Republican caucus, and the Republican caucus is still populated with more warmongers, nation builders, open border types. So we got to change that. But I just want to make sure you understand what we're dealing with. This is Mike Johnson talking about, hey, we got to support Ukraine. We got to put some pressure on him here and say, whoa, 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 time out, Mike Johnson. It's not where your voters are at. I know that might be where north of Grumman and Lockheed Martin is. Let's play cut 146.
I agree with your assessment in Ukraine, and that's why the American people are demanding some real accountability for the use of those dollars. Now, we can't allow Vladimir Putin to prevail in Ukraine because I don't believe it would stop there, and it would probably encourage and empower China to perhaps make a move on Taiwan. We have these concerns. We're not going to abandon them, but we have a responsibility, a stewardship responsibility over the precious treasure of the American people. And we have to make sure that the White House is providing the people with some accountability for the dollars.
All right, he's talking about accountability. I can get on that. But part of the entire interview, he says, look, I agree with your assessment. I mean, Sean Hannity's talking about cluster bombs. I have a lot of respect for Sean. I couldn't disagree more with Sean on this. And that's just the way it is. And Mike Johnson's, you know, talking about, yeah, you know, I agree with your assessment and all this. And hold on, time out. Here's just some advice, how Mike Johnson should have answered it. Again, he's new to the game. His comms team, you know, we're here. Phone call, anytime. Here's what Mike Johnson just said. Sean, thank you for your passion on Ukraine. But honestly, southern border is above Ukraine. Yes, we'll get it figured out. Our conference wants it. But honestly, before I'm even going to dive into that, Sean, our nation is under attack and being invaded. If he would have just said that, man, that would have been a huge shift on a narrative way, right? Would have been a huge shift. Being like, we are getting overrun by third world foreigners. Right now in New York City, by the way, Eric Adams has a travel agency just for illegals, saying that we'll fly you anywhere in the world. Yeah, I don't think they're going to go to Mogadishu, okay? They're going to be like, huh, Charleston, South Carolina, Denver, Phoenix, Dallas. Something tells me they're not going to want to go to Brussels. And so that's the number one issue. And so look, Mike Johnson, we got some things to work on. You know, he's walking the halls of Congress. He's saying, yeah, you know, we have you know, Ukraine funding is top of the list. You have to get it done. J.D. Vance, Senator Vance, has come out and has said, listen, this is a big problem. That it's a change of tone. Again, I'm not even disappointed because why? My expectations were so low. I knew this was coming. The swamp is undefeated, everybody. To beat the swamp, again, you are going up against a massive undefeated Leviathan. So for me, my expectations were zero. Now, Stephen Miller has said he opposes funding for the Ukraine war and favors a peace settlement. However, there's a checkmate move against Biden that can unite the party. If the House passes a Ukraine bill that seals the U.S. border and makes clear to the Senate the White House is the last, best, and only final offer, no negotiation, no clean funding, no more checks, this or nothing, take it or leave it. Use Ukraine as leverage, which, sure, but two problems. Number one, I don't think Ukraine needs more money. I think just on principle, that's wrong. But politics is the art of the possible. That's number one. Number two, though, will that money actually seal the southern border, or will that be just for quicker paperwork processing of illegals coming into the country? So those are two different things. What guarantees can you actually put in a funding bill so that the people on the southern border are actually doing their job and arresting and deporting these illegals, not saying, come in quicker, Paco, right? That's a problem. And I have no trust in Biden at all to actually execute this policy. It's a big problem. And by the way, let me just say this. Why is it that the media and the head of the American government, we're starting to hear whispers, well, we need a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, yet I don't hear a whisper about ceasefires between Russia and Ukraine. What is that all about? Why does Israel have to go get its ceasefire and stop bombing, and Ukraine and Russia have to fight for the next 200 years? Listen, as students begin heading back to school, do you think they'll be learning about the founding principles that made America the freest, most prosperous nation in history? Will they learn that our unalienable rights are God-given and not granted by government? Will they be given a full and honest account of our nation's history? The answer to all these questions is yes for students at Hillsdale College. And these days, in addition to teaching college students, Hillsdale has extended its teaching to K-12 students and lifelong learners like you and me. If you're not doing so already, one of the best ways to start learning from my friends at Hillsdale is through InPrimus, Hillsdale's free digest of liberty. My listeners can sign up for free at this special website, which is available for a limited time. It's at charlie4hillsdale.com. I look forward to InPrimus each month, and you can too. It's interesting, useful, and free. The best and smartest in conservative constitutionalist thought. Find out more about Hillsdale and InPrimus at charlie4hillsdale.com. They're an excellent college, America's greatest college, charlie4hillsdale.com. Okay, in the midst of all of this Speaker Johnson stuff, the media has changed their tone a little bit, and it's been super, because it happened now twice. And, you know, we watch the networks, we watch MSNBC, and I caught this on Steve Bannon War Room's program on one of the cold opens. I said, oh, that's interesting. I heard it twice. So there's obviously been a memo that's out, and this is all about next November. We haven't really talked about the presidential race much. To Donald Trump's great credit, he has basically ended the Republican primary. Donald Trump last night had 1,000 major donors at Mar-a-Lago. I can't believe this hasn't been a major story. It was one of the largest events in the history of Mar-a-Lago, 1,000 major donors, many of whom last night were at Mar-a-Lago, were former DeSantis donors, former, you know, Nikki Haley. They were flirting around and playing footsie with all this stuff over the summer, and they woke up to reality. We're like, we're getting behind Trump. Last night, it was a massive fundraiser. Donald Trump crushed it. I know a lot of people that were there. He raised a ton of money. Donors are consolidating behind him. They're realizing that all these other candidates are not going to be the nominee, and that Donald Trump is ascendant. You're not going to get that number down. Now, we haven't really heard, we haven't talked much about the next election. How are all these things impacting the next election? Well, there's five or six things that are playing into this. Okay. The Israel war is big. We're going to talk about it. But also, Mike Johnson becoming speaker kind of flushed out a new narrative, flushed out a new talking point. Rachel Maddow said this last week. We don't have that tape, but Rachel Maddow went on and she was talking and she said, you know, Donald Trump has a real chance of becoming president. This is going to come down to a couple thousand votes. I said, okay, Rachel's just saying that. Like, hold on. But Mike Johnson now becoming speaker. The lunatics on MSNBC are obviously getting briefed, aka they're getting text messages and emails, or at the very least, there's kind of internal high society Democrat ruling class chatter that this election is going to come down to a couple counties in a couple states and a couple precincts. Now, to our great credit, we have been singing that song on this program since January. We've been raising money, hiring ballot chasers at Turning Point Action. We've been doing the work, and I pray that our obedience will result in a great outcome. Play cut 134.
Based on your history, new Mr. Speaker, do you believe Joe Biden's the president of the United States? The reporter is literally booed by members of Congress. One woman standing next to Johnson told her to shut up, shouting at the reporter, boo, you know, you're living in the past, all the rest of it.
No, we're worried about the future.
And so I think, John, now, as we all know, this election's going to be close either way. If it's Trump against Joe Biden, it's going to be slim margins again in Arizona and Michigan and Georgia and all those places. And we're going to see a replay.
Okay, so they accidentally told us what's really going on here. They're freaked out about Mike Johnson. This is all silly. That somehow Mike Johnson is going to overturn election results if it's winning a couple thousand votes. That's where their head goes, right? So their head immediately goes towards protecting their oligarchy. Oh my goodness, Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House. If the electoral votes come and they're not this, okay, that's just kind of a false narrative. The buried lead is they're telling you that they're worried. They're telling you that they're seeing major fault lines, that the Democrat machinery might not be necessarily as robust and as strong as they have been presenting it, that they snuck a fast one in 2020. They basically snuck half of a fast one in 2022. I think that's fair to say. And their window of doing deceitful trickery with early voting, ballot chasing, and all that, that window is closing the more and more we on the American right are getting serious about grassroots muscle. And they said it again. Play cut 136.
Matt Gaetz, who led the coup against Kevin McCarthy, was quoted this week saying this whole process, he was asked about what a messy thing it's been for Republicans. He said it wasn't messy. I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, this was a success because we have a better MAGA representative in there now. He has said it out loud. That was the plan, to get someone in there who, if this comes out of a close election, is, and they all seem to be, if it's a matter of a few thousand votes here or there, and the House plays a role, Donald Trump has this guy in place.
Okay, so he just literally repeated what Mr. Geist just said next to him. You think it's in their head? I mean, literally, they can't go 90 seconds of saying, it's going to come down to a couple thousand votes. Rachel Maddow, going to come down to a couple thousand votes. Willie Geist, going to come down to a couple thousand votes. Going to come down to a couple thousand votes. They are broadcasting, you guys. They are nervous. They are paranoid. They're nervous for multiple reasons. Donald Trump is unflappable. This guy's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'm going to teach my kids one day, yes, he's got plenty of problems and all this, but if your back is ever against the wall, that's what perseverance and grit looks like. Seriously. I mean, it's unbelievable. Facing 700 years in federal prison, he got this ridiculous fraud trial in New York, getting lied about all the time. It's unbelievable how this guy keeps on going. The stamina, the perseverance, the grit, the hustle. 95% negative press. They lock your supporters in prison. They're turning people against each other. They're lying about people that used to work. It's unbelievable. And the guy says, you know what? We're going to keep on fighting. That is virtuous. And that deserves credit repeatedly. Any other person would have capitulated, folded, surrendered, and sued for peace. But let's not bury the lead here. Here's MSNBC talking about Mike Johnson. Again, that's a sideshow, okay? They're telling you that next November is going to come down to a couple thousand votes, a couple thousand votes, a couple thousand votes. And they know this because in an incredible turn of events, Hamas might be breaking the Democrat Party. That's right. Hamas might be breaking the Democrat Party. Hamas goes and kills 1,400 Jews in the worst killing of Jews since the Holocaust. Terrible. It's not an attack. It was a massacre. It's genocide. Terrible. Okay. Turns out Hamas is an October surprise a whole year early. We've been highlighting this for quite some time. And my prediction was 50% correct. 50%. My prediction was that there will be an event that will break the marriage between corporate Democrats and the activist base. Remember, this has been a forced fusion, right? So they've put together the AOC, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley types with corporate Democrats, transactional Democrats like Joe Manchin and Joe Biden that control Wall Street. And they've put them together because how much they hate, quote unquote, right-wing fascism. It's been a marriage of convenience. It's been fused together and they've never been ideologically compatible. I thought the fault line would come over other issues, economic in particular. Turns out I was right about the fault line being exposed. I was wrong about the issue because no one could have predicted this issue. Who would have thought that 1,400 Jews in the Holy Land being massacred could end up creating a civil war in the Democrat Party. Now, mind you, there's a lot of tensions on the right about this, but honestly, it's been simmered down in the last week. I think finally people are, cooler heads are prevailing. It is heating up, and you are seeing a glorious revolution happen in the Democrat Party. Joe Biden's numbers have gone down within the Democrat Party by 11 points. Joe Biden has to choose. Does he want to listen to his center-left, more moderate Jewish Democrat donors that want support of Israel, or is he going to turn his back on the activist base? The fact that Joe Biden went to Israel and voiced support for Israel is creating a legitimate coup within the Democrat Party. And it's not just the Muslims that are upset. Understand, the major drivers for Palestinian liberation, all that crap, are white, upper middle class educated liberals in their early 20s that have been led to believe that Israel is executing a genocide on Hamas. Super far left. These are college educated liberals. These college educated liberals are so on the side of Hamas. And so then Democrat donors that tend to be Jewish, you know, that Democrat donors that are Jewish, not tend to be Jewish, but wealthy Jewish Democrat donors that have zero sympathy for any of the Hamas stuff, this is creating a massive tension point. And Joe Biden, by the way, is making it worse. So Joe Biden is hosting like special safe spaces. Joe Biden has a safe space for Muslims in the White House. He just had a roundtable last week where all these Arab Muslims and Joe Biden was giving them assurances. That is a middle finger to Jews right now that are having flashbacks to the Holocaust. They don't want that. Leon Cooperman, Mark Rowan, Huntsman, they don't want it at all. By the way, Muslims are thinking of mass quitting the Biden administration. So Biden's trying to keep this whole thing together because it was a forced marriage from the beginning. And it's not the American right that is breaking this. The Democrat coalition heading into 2024 is splintering and fracturing, not over income inequality, wealth equality, big tech, open borders, censorship, but over Israel. That is fascinating, isn't it? It's fascinating. It goes to show of all the issues, it actually makes sense because it is a non-negotiable issue for Jewish Democrat donors, especially when 1,400 Jews are slaughtered. They don't want to hear about Muslims' feelings. They don't want to hear about Students for Justice of Palestine. And the Students for Justice of Palestine, using the language or using glory to our martyrs on a Jewish library at George Washington University, Jewish donors are mad, and they should be mad. And this is creating a serious nosedive for Joe Biden's Democrat reelection chances. And that is directly correlated with Willie Geist and MSNBC and Rachel Maddow repeating. It's going to come down to a couple thousand votes, And like, yeah, it is going to come down to a couple thousand votes. One of the reasons that if this continues, if Israel invades Gaza, which is an open question at this point, but if Israel invades Gaza, this is not going to go away. Joe Biden's support with the activist base will go down. Now, interesting enough, Joe Biden's support amongst like more moderate suburban voters has actually gone up only a couple points, not significantly, just a couple points. But what is noticeable is how much Jew hatred, how much Israel hatred, how much Hamas and Gaza sympathy there is with the rank and file of the AOC activist base of the Democrat Party. So Joe Biden has to choose. Are you going to choose your donors or are you going to choose your activists? And it is breaking the back of the Democrat Party right now. So let me just first say, I'm thrilled that Hugh Hewitt's going to be involved in this next debate. I like Hugh. I've always gotten along with him. Hugh has always had my back. He recently defended me. We're colleagues on the Salem Radio Network. Hugh's a great guy. I really, really like Hugh. Thrilled that he's involved in this upcoming debate. So I just have to preface it with that. Again, I'm involved. Salem is involved. Salem is a terrific group of people. Hugh might be a little more moderate than I am on some issues. Doesn't matter. He's been great to me. He's always defended me. In fact, what he did recently to me, for me, really great. And I'll never forget it. So I just have to say that. Hugh's a patriot. So let's just put Hugh on the appropriate mantle and say, Hugh, glad you're involved. Why is the RNC also, though, doing a debate with NBC and Lester Holt and Kristen Welker? What is that all about? You put Hugh Hewitt will be one of the moderators. Put that aside. debates are expensive. Debates are costly. Wouldn't it be more rational to say, we've probably had enough debates? Let's do it maybe low cost and put one, I don't know, on Real America's Voice so that real voters could listen to it. And let's go hire ballot chasers in these key states. So you don't have the main GOP candidate participating in this debate. And you have Lester Holt and Kristen Welker. And again, this drives me crazy. Do you think when Democrats host their next debate, if they ever do, would they have Tucker Carlson moderate one of their debates? Would they have Dan Bongino moderate one of their debates? Would they have Steve Bannon moderate one of their debates? Would they have Charlie Kirk moderate one of their debates? Would they have Matt Walsh moderate one of their? You get the point. Lester Holt and Kristen Welker are the ideological equivalent. They are not reporters. These people are Democrat operatives that read teleprompters every evening. And the questions will be this. So tell me, Mike Pence, do you enjoy hating gays? 30 seconds to respond. Great. So tell me, Nikki Haley, how many brown people will you deport? The questions will be so rigged. And so then let's just say, again, Hugh Hewitt, God bless him, is going to have to deal with them. And I think Hugh's going to do the best he possibly can. Hugh's a smart guy, and he's going to get really good questions in kind of the pre-editorial meeting. But honestly, Lester and Kristen are just going to lie to Hugh Hewitt. They're a bunch of liars, okay? They're like, oh, yeah, we'll ask these questions, and they'll take out questions out of their back. You can't trust these people, okay? They're scum rats. And you're going to have all of these questions that are going to make Republicans look fringe. And there's three types of questions they'll ask. Make you look fringe, turn them against each other, or disavow Trump to try to create distance, okay? And the whole thing, it's going to be like the abortion debate, right? So what week do you think? Or what's this? Or how would you have these exceptions? It's like, what? And then we're going to be wondering, yeah, the first question will be, welcome, I'm Kristen Welker. So to you, Vivek Ramaswamy, do you believe the 2020 was a legitimate election? Is Joe Biden president of the United States? By the way, the reason why the House Republican Conference booed that question when Speaker Mike Johnson was Speaker is because it's a stupid question. It's a stupid question, okay? It was their first question. You should boo when a reporter asks that. You know what they're doing. They don't want to actually congratulate Mike Johnson. Hey, what are you going to do with the CR? Are you going to close the border and give more money to Ukraine? No, no. Do you believe the 2020 election? Like, shut up. We know what you're at here. It shows ridiculous bias, and it shows a unwillingness to actually engage in question. No one is actually saying that Biden doesn't occupy the Oval. We are saying is whether or not he got it through normal, traditional, and ordinary means. And honestly, we're not talking that much about that right now. We are forward facing. We're looking at November 2024 to get it back. Okay. By the way, you know what Mike Johnson should have said? Hey, reporter person, how would I impeach Joe Biden if he's not president? Next question. How do you impeach someone who's not president? Because that's what I'm going to do. Next question. So, glad Hugh's involved. I'm glad Salem's involved. But honestly, the RNC, what are you doing bringing NBC into here? Instead, it should be, okay, this primary was fun. We had a great summer, guys. Let's get to work to beat the Democrats. We have like three marching orders. We got to hire ballot chasers and all the early voting type operatives that we possibly can. We as a movement, we got to get RFK Jr.'s numbers down now. That's a whole nother show we're going to do. You got to get his numbers down. He's way too favorable. You got to get him down to single digits. And then finally, you have to unite the tribes of the Republican Party sooner rather than later. And bringing NBC in to moderate your debate does not accomplish that goal. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.